Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath. We are happy that we can get together even through this the internet. How many of us are grateful how God has been good to us despite all of the pandemic and all the other issues that have happened due to the coronavirus? We're still grateful that God has been taking care of us, and now it's our turn for us to give back the tithes and offering. God, despite everything, has been able to provide for our needs, and He asked us to step up in faith and give Him back, you know, what's already His. There's different ways that we can do this. We're encouraged to either do it online. We can also drop it through the mail. And let's always remember how wonderful God is. Despite me working in the hospital, God has been good. I haven't gotten sick. I haven't brought it to my family. And God's still taking care of us. So let us continue to be faithful the same way God is faithful to us. Have an awesome Sabbath.
Greetings, friends, and happy Sabbath on this beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us. I want to give you a little bit of a view of the beauty of this area here. We've got a beach, a jetty, and waves, a little bit of the town. I'll show you the beautiful Rogue River Bridge there in the distance. You can see it. And God has just blessed us with so many blessings during this time. It's a little bit windy outside, so I'm going to step in and get in my car so I can record this message in a way that you'll be able to hear it better. So my hair is a little bit windblown from being out there, but I just wanted to talk this morning with you about the blessings that we have and the wonders of creation. We've talked about creation in the Sabbath school class. And before we open up the Bible, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, the wonders of this world, the beauties that you have created. And as we contemplate on this at this time together, I pray that you will bless our meditation, and may we learn more concerning you and your love and your plan for each one of us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many things that we can learn from God's creation and the wonders of God's creation and the blessings that He's provided for each of us. And I want to just talk about that a little bit this morning. As you can see behind me, the beauty of the ocean, the sky a little bit there, coming even through the sunroof here, we are reminded of the blessings that God has given us. And I think of the very first text in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, a text that we could probably, most of us, recite from memory. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first sentence of Scripture tells us that there is a God, tells us what He did, of the fact of His creative power, and the beauty of His creation as we see it unfold there in the Genesis creation account. God has blessed us with so many things, even in the account of creation. We find that there are many, many truths in connection to this account. Think about the fact that the creation account speaks about God, of course. The first thing that's mentioned in the beginning, God, the doctrine of God, believing in God. It's the first thing that comes in there. It speaks about creation, of course. And it even speaks about the Holy Spirit, because it speaks of the Spirit of God moving over the face of the waters. The creation account also teaches us about the Sabbath, the beautiful gift of the Sabbath, and the gift of marriage that we find mentioned, all of these things even before sin entered, in the beautiful account that we have in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and then of course Genesis chapter 3 helps us to understand about sin and the fact that sin is the reason for the sorrow and the problems in this world. So we have the doctrine of sin, we have the doctrine of death, because sin follows death, and it's spoken of as that which would follow death right there in the Genesis story. We also have the wonderful hope of salvation in this story. In Genesis 3:15, the promise of a redeemer is first made. We have the wonderful understanding of the Word of God, because what does one of the first statements say? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, that's the Word of God. And we have in Scripture about 1,500 pages, depending on what typeset your Bible publisher used, which are the Word of God. And right there in the Genesis account, we have that beautiful teaching that we have in the, that we know of as the Bible today. What about the teaching of health? God gave Adam and Eve a diet. Genesis 1:29, I've given you every herb-bearing seed and every fruit from every tree, and so on. So we have the health, beautiful message of healthful living that we find. And the doctrine of stewardship is also there in the creation account. God gave the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve to dress and to keep. And he also gave them the responsibility to name the animals. And some of this has been reviewed in our Sabbath school lesson, but so many different truths right there in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. I was asked one time in the process of planning a wedding with a young couple who were getting married, and they said, we're going to have a lot of people at our wedding who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps they have heard of Jesus, but they don't know all of the wonderful truths of the Bible that we know. And we would like for you, Pastor, they said, to, in your wedding sermon, please mention every single one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the wedding sermon. And at first I thought, wow, that's going to be a task, because at that time we had 27 fundamental beliefs. And now if you look at it, it's 28, only because they added prayer. We already believed in prayer, but they added another one about prayer and spiritual warfare and such as that. So as I sat down and began to write my sermon, I discovered that it really was not that difficult to weave in all 27 fundamental beliefs into that sermon. I found that, of course, the book of Genesis, which is often used in wedding sermons, it mentions all of these doctrines that I just mentioned to you. And it doesn't take much to go to other parts of the Bible and to weave in the practical value of our fundamental beliefs. But so much is found there in the book of Genesis as a foundation for our faith. The most important thing that we find in the book of Genesis is the belief in God, that we have a God who is our creator. And so the question is not so much who we are, although this account does tell us who we are. It tells us whose we are. The fact that we are the offspring of God. We belong to God, so we discover God and we discover ourselves. And that's very important, to discover both of those together. We find that God is not only a creator, but in the book of Genesis, God is presented as also a savior, a redeemer, a friend, even when human beings fail. Because the greatest human failure the most important human failure that ever happened is there, right there in the story in Genesis chapter 3, in the temptation and the fall of mankind. So we find that through this account in Genesis, both before sin came in and after sin came in, that God's plan for us, God's purpose for us, is that we would walk with Him. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, the Bible says, that we would fellowship with Him, that we would enjoy Him, and that we would reveal Him to others. And that's our purpose, to declare the glory of God in our creation as we share God's love with so many people that God makes it possible for us to share Him with. I want to talk about this wonderful plan of redemption that was revealed in a brief message there in Genesis chapter 3, but in the rest of the scripture, the plan of salvation is outlined in greater and fuller detail. We go to the New Testament and we find in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, this fallen condition that we all share. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. This is the sobering truth of sin, that it brings death and that it has passed to everyone. We've been talking about a pandemic that's throughout the world, but the sin pandemic is the greatest pandemic of all. It affects every single person. No one is exempt from the infection of sin, as the scripture says. And, you know, another thing that we've been talking about is social distancing during this coronavirus. Social distancing. But I want to talk about spiritual distancing in this connection. Sin has created a spiritual distance between us and God. And thank God, He is not afraid of that. He is not afraid of us. He has done everything He can to bridge that gap, to close that distance. He has come close to us in so many ways. And in the wonders of the plan of salvation, we see the spiritual distancing that is solved by the plan that God made in sending Jesus to take our place, to die for our sins, and to make a way of salvation for us to come close to God once again. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's the part we noticed before, but thank God the verse doesn't end there. For the wages of sin is death, but, a very important conjunction. Let us thank God for that little three-letter word. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. This is God closing the distance. God coming close to us. He's not afraid of us. He doesn't have to stay 6 miles or 6 feet away from us. He comes close to us and offers us a wonderful gift. And it speaks of eternal life. And we often think of eternal in the sense of the quantity of time, you know, a never-ending amount of time. That seems just incredible to try to grasp that. But according to the Greek, and I looked this up in my Greek dictionary this week, that the word eternal actually has within it a meaning of the quality of time, the quality of time that we will have with God in eternity is beyond anything that we can possibly begin to imagine. If you can look behind me and see the beauty of the ocean and the beauty of the sky and the waves and the sand, and there's so many different things that I could point out if I had opportunity today, you know, there's a beautiful quality that we have in this world, the colors that God has made. And God has an eternal life for us that is going to be happier each day than the day before. We'll be able to pursue the most fascinating interests that we could ever imagine. There will be never a dull moment. It will never be boring. It will be interesting all the time. It will be a wonderful spiritual experience. We'll be able to worship God directly. You know, the hymn that talks about sweet hour of prayer and how one day we'll say farewell to the sweet hour of prayer because we will have direct access to God. What a wonder that will be. So the quality of life, God gave Jesus to be our Savior. This text describes an antidote or a vaccine, if you will. We talk about a vaccine for coronavirus. Well, there's the ultimate vaccine for sin, and that is what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The blood of Jesus is what provides us the vaccine. It provides us the saving power that we so desperately need. I'll never forget hearing a story about a man who brought his child to a vacation Bible school at a Seventh-day Adventist church. This happened many years ago. And this man was not a church-going person. He did not have a background with understanding doctrines of the Bible and such. And he would just bring his child to the VBS, and he would sit there listening to the stories and the gospel as it was being presented to the children. And one day after the meeting, he asked the pastor, he said, "So if I understand this correctly, you're saying that the God who created this world is the same God who died on the cross for our sins." It was the wonder of the gospel that was dawning on his mind. And the pastor said, "Yes, that's the truth." And he said, "You know, we not only have this program here for children, but we have a special Bible class for adults if you would like to join." And he did join, and he was eventually baptized. It was a wonderful story of the gospel of what God has done, dawning on the mind of a man as he listened to it, as it was being presented to children. The Bible says a little child shall lead them. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're ever wanting to know how can I share the gospel, you can do it in one verse. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. You can just draw it on a piece of paper. You know, you've got eternal death on the left side. You can put eternal life on the right side. Sin and death on the left side. Eternal life on the right side. Draw a little chasm between the two and put a cross in the middle, like a bridge, and that's the part through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got the whole verse right there. The whole gospel is encapsulated in that one verse, and it's the only hope that we have. But you know, the wonders of God's creation lead us to understand the wonders of God's plan of redemption, the story of redemption that we've been talking about. And it also reminds us that one day there is going to be a recreation, an ultimate redoing of this world. And there's much beauty in the world, but there's also the evidence of the curse in the world. There's the result of sin in the world. There is death, there is suffering, there's pain. And God is going to wipe all of that out one day. And we have this a promise in the beautiful words of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." the hope of the gospel, the ultimate recreation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, every evidence, every remainder of sin will be changed. We'll have new bodies. We will enjoy perfect health. We will enjoy the wealth of the universe. We will inherit all things, as the Bible says, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ inherits all things. And so we inherit everything that Jesus inherits. What a wonderful, amazing gift that is. And the further part of this, you know, we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, we have the beautiful promise, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." The gift of eternal life is a gift that is offered to us. And it is also a gift that we need to accept. We need to believe in this gift. This gift is something that God does not force on us. He offers it to us in the most attractive form that he possibly can. And we need to take advantage while we can of this wonderful gift. Something happened this week that has connected to it a story that illustrates this great sacrifice of Jesus for us that I just want to mention. It was on Monday, May the 18th, that we had the 40-year anniversary of the explosion of Mount St. Helens. I know that many of you listening right now can remember where you were when you first heard about the volcano there at Mount St. Helens exploding. I remember where I was May 18, 1980. I lived in Mountain View, California, and we heard about this great volcano that had erupted. Later on, someone traveled up here to the Northwest, and they were actually able to get some of the ash, you know, and they put it in a little bottle, and they brought it back down to Mountain View. We got to look at that. We did not live close enough to have any of the ash where we were, but we certainly heard a lot about this incredible geologic phenomenon. Perhaps the greatest ever to occur in the United States. There was one scientist, a geologist, by the name of David Johnston. He was 30 years old. He loved geology. He loved volcanoes. He loved doing research on them. And he was one of the scientists that was observing Mount St. Helens in the months and weeks and, of course, even days before the explosion took place. David Johnston was someone who believed that it was important to understand volcanoes, not just because he was fascinated with volcanoes, but because he knew that it was important for people to know if a volcano was going to explode. He actually had a motivation based on reports from his family members that he wanted to help people. And he actually, when he was researching Mount St. Helens in the weeks before the explosion, would go into the volcano itself, into the volcano to take gas samples to know better the likely timing of the explosion. And it happened that he had a camp where he would do this, and he spent a lot of time up there near the mountain and on the mountain. And a week before, there was another geologist that needed a substitute. He couldn't be around on May the 18th. And he asked David Johnston, "Would you be willing to go up and take my place on that date? Because I can't be there." There was some reason why he couldn't be there. Johnston was a little bit hesitant because he knew that there wasn't much time left for that volcano, but he wanted to be helpful, and he went up there. And he was the one who reported on the radio to the people that were receiving those messages that the mountain was exploding. And David Johnston sacrificed his life. He died in that explosion. He was close enough to the mountain that he wasn't able to get away. But it was because of his sacrifice, because of his dedication and his statements and warnings that people needed to get out of the area. People needed to get to safety because any day now it's going to explode. And because of him, there was a relatively small number of people that died. It would have been a much larger number without his warnings and his expertise and all that he did. In a small way, David's sacrifice provides an example of a much greater sacrifice that was made for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he died for our sins, suffered the wrath of God against sin, and died our sacrifice, and did not consider his own life dear to him, but felt that our life was more important than his. And so let us remember that. Let us remember that the one who created our world and everyone in it is the same one who died on the cross to save us. Let us pause for just a moment as we bring the message to a close. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty of the earth, for your creative power, for your love, your grace, your patience, and your saving power, for your redeeming power, for the wonders of the plan of salvation, for Jesus who died for us, how that we read God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. We pray, Lord, today that this truth will be ever more real to us as we celebrate the wonders of your person and your gifts and your creative and recreative ability. Recreate us, O Lord. Transform us. Save us by your grace. We surrender our lives to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just remind you that this wonderful promise that God has given of salvation is not a promise that will be always and forever available. There will come a time when it will not be available, it will be out of our reach. We don't know from one day to the next what might happen to us. After death, it's too late. The Bible says it is appointed man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And we never know when that might happen. We don't know the timing of the great second advent of Jesus Christ. And of course, there is an ultimate close of our probationary time in this world. So let us take advantage of this promise today and enjoy the blessings of God every day that he's given us. May God bless you today. May you enjoy this Sabbath. May you feel his blessings. May you enjoy fellowship. We have lots to look forward to. God is good to us, and he's preparing a great future for everyone. Let us trust in him, and God will bless us. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.